Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times bestselling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Hello, and thanks for joining me on this Friday. It's great to have you here at Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I hope that you have been with us the entire 2 weeks, because this has been quite a transforming series. Derek Prince, one of the great historic teachings in his ministry is The Way Up is Down. It's a powerful teaching about humility, about how in the kingdom of God and according to the laws of the Spirit, we are lifted up, we are promoted by humbling ourselves, by going the opposite direction of what the world would tell us to do. It has been a marvelous series. Derek has drawn from the life of Jesus out of Philippians 2:5, where Jesus did not hold equality with God as something to be grasped, but humbled himself and took on the form of a servant. Derek has used the negative example of Satan being cast out of heaven because of his pride. And then Derek has also used Abraham and other figures in the Bible to really teach us. It's been tremendous. And today, one of the great stories of breaking and humility from the Bible is going to be our pleasure to hear from Derek, because he's going to be talking about Jacob, an example of humility. What a powerful truth it is. I hope you'll get your Bible. I hope you'll get something to write notes with, maybe pull some friends around. And by the way, if you've missed any of this, log on to our website at derekprince.org. We really want you to soak in the Word, hear it over and over and over. Now, this is a teaching I need. I imagine you need it too. So let's listen as Derek Prince teaches us about Jacob, an example of humility.
God has got it beautifully worked out. God says, you humble yourself, I'll take care of the consequences. Don't try and work it out for me. Don't make up your mind in advance you'll humble yourself if. That's not humility. God, I'll do what my pastor asks if I get my way. Sure you will. That's not what God wants. God wants you to say, I'll do what my pastor asks, period. It's a commitment. It's a risk. There is no other way. It really blesses me to see how Abraham trusted God with the result of his humbling himself. We have to do that. There's no other way. Jesus trusted God. He died. The Father raised him up. If the Father had never raised him up, he would have never come back from the tomb. He humbled himself. God exalted him. You humble yourself, God will exalt you. Don't try and exalt yourself. Don't work it out for God. That when you get your hands on it, God takes his all. Let's look at one other example. Jacob. Genesis 33. You really need to know a little about the background of Jacob's career to appreciate this. Earlier in his life, Jacob, whose name means cheat or supplanter, had cheated his brother Esau. Well, he'd got the birthright by, I wouldn't say cheating, he'd simply bought it for a bowl of soup. It was pretty smart practice, but he'd actually cheated him out of his father's blessing by pretending to be Esau. You know the story, I'm sure. He got nothing for it except to be in exile. And for 20 years, he had to run from the land that God had promised him. Then after 20 years serving his uncle Laban, having acquired wives and children and flocks and herds, the Lord told him, now is the time to go back. So he started back toward the promised land. And when he got to the border, he came to a place where he sent everything he had ahead of him, his wives, his children, his flocks, and his herds. And it says Jacob was left alone. Perhaps we could read that. It's in Genesis 32, verse 24. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. This man, I believe, was God. Jacob believed that too, because next day he said, I've seen God face to face. Was the second person of the Godhead. the one who was manifested in human history as Jesus of Nazareth. And notice the combination of gentleness and power. Jacob wouldn't give way. So eventually the man touched the socket of his hip and put him out of joint. See, just a little touch, but it put him out of joint. Now Jacob was helpless. There was nothing he could do but plead for mercy. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. "Supplanter, cheat." Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with men and have overcome." Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" It was a mystery. Then he blessed him there. Now Jacob had the blessing not merely of the father, but of God. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. And for the rest of his life, Jacob walked with a limp. I've heard it said that God never puts sickness on anyone. And I understand that in a certain sense that's true, but we have to face the fact that God made Jacob lame for life. Why? Because there was no other way to do what? Humble him. That's right. I tell you that if God really loves you and you're not willing to humble yourself, God may have to do some very drastic things in your life.
I love the story of Jacob because Jacob was a man who wanted the blessing of God. He wanted the grace of God in his life, and yet he went about it the wrong way. God, though, taught him through painful experiences how humility was the access to the blessing of the Lord. And yet I always love Jacob because he's hungry. He's hungry for the things of God. He doesn't know how to get them. He just knows he wants them. He needs them. And he values them more than his brother Esau. But humility was the key. What a powerful story. There's so much more to come as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
Get ready to embark on a journey that can truly revolutionize your approach to life as Derek Prince navigates some long-held misconceptions about servanthood. In his classic video teaching, Being a Servant, Derek reveals that a servant's heart is not only the key to greatness, it is the key to experiencing true joy, real influence, and deep blessing. Even as the world asks, "What's in it for me?" this DVD's message explores the power behind the question, "How may I serve God?" It's a call to a revival of servanthood among the people of God and what it can mean to a hungry and hurting world. Discover real joy through the God-fueled power of servanthood. Order your copy of Derek's insightful DVD, Being a Servant, by calling us toll-free, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. This classic video teaching is just $9.95. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or order your copy of Being a Servant when you visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. I'm glad you're here. We are listening to Derek Prince talk to us about the power of humility. And he's doing it today out of one of my favorite stories, and that's the story of Jacob, a man who hungered for the things of God, hungered for God's blessing, hungered to be accepted, and yet always seemed to go about it the wrong way. Yet God scripted experiences so that Jacob would learn humility. We're just about to hear Derek talk about Jacob coming and confronting the brother he had wronged. Let's listen.
Genesis 32, verse 24. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. This man, I believe, was God. Jacob believed that too, because next day he said, "I've seen God face to face." Was the second person of the Godhead, the one who was manifested in human history as Jesus of Nazareth. And notice the combination of gentleness and power. Jacob wouldn't give way, so eventually the man touched the socket of his hip and put him out of joint. See, just a little touch, but it put him out of joint. Now Jacob was helpless. There was nothing he could do but plead for mercy. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. "Supplanter, cheat." Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with men and have overcome." Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" It was a mystery. Then he blessed him there. Now Jacob had the blessing not merely of the father, but of God. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. And for the rest of his life, Jacob walked with a limp. I've heard it said that God never puts sickness on anyone. And I understand that in a certain sense that's true, but we have to face the fact that God made Jacob lame for life. Why? Because there was no other way to do what? Humble him. That's right. I tell you that if God really loves you and you're not willing to humble yourself, God may have to do some very drastic things in your life. Now, Jacob had met the angel who was God and received that blessing. Was that sufficient? No. Jacob had one more encounter. Guess who? His brother Esau. He'd heard that Esau was coming to meet him with 400 armed men. And last time he saw Esau, Esau was out after his life. So I suppose Jacob felt nervous. Going on in chapter 33, Jacob looked up, and there was Esau coming with his 400 men. So he divided the children among Leah, Rachel, and the two maidservants. He put the maidservants and their children in front, Leah and her children next, Rachel and Joseph in the rear. Why were Rachel and Joseph in the rear? Because they were the ones he cared about the most. Yes. He himself went on ahead and bowed down to the ground 7 times as he approached his brother. What was that? Humility. Why was it 7 times? Many reasons, but to me the number 7 always is a hint. There's the Holy Spirit there. The Holy Spirit had worked something in Jacob. The man whom God had chosen, the man who had the birthright, the man who had the blessing of his father, the man who had the blessing of the angel, when he met his carnal brother, bowed 7 times. You know what I regard that as? The proof he had the blessing. I believe that's the outworking of what happened between Jacob and the angel. Until he met the angel, he would never have bowed himself. But he bowed 7 times. What happened? But Esau ran to meet Jacob and embraced him. He threw his arms around his neck and kissed him, and they wept. We don't need to read any further. But see, you may be God's elect. You may be the one that God has blessed. You may be the spiritual one in your family, in your fellowship, someplace. You know what will prove you're the spiritual one? When you can bow down to the carnal one. And then the problems and the barriers that could not be solved in any other way can be resolved by humility. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Do you want God's grace? What do you have to do? Humble yourself. Before God, and who else? Men, the people around you, your husband, your wife, your children. I remember years back, early 1950s, when I was about 36 years old, and Lydia and I were still bringing up our 8 girls. I got very angry with one of our daughters who was about 13 years old at the time, 14. And I just was not prepared to change my attitude. You know what happened? I got a strange feeling in my chest, just about here, like a sort of lump or a pressure. You know what it says in the book of Ecclesiastes? You may not know it, but it says, anger rests in the bosom of fools. And I went around this for 48 hours, and I knew there was only one way I could ever get rid of that. You know what it was? To go to my 14-year-old daughter and ask her forgiveness. And I did, and I'm glad I did. I think if I hadn't done that, the blessing of God would have been withdrawn from my ministry. There are situations when the only solution is to humble yourself. And you can walk around it and view it from every angle and pray as much as you like. You can pray up a storm. But at the end, God says, humble yourself. If you're the spiritual one, prove it. Don't expect the carnal person to do what the spiritual person should do. That's your responsibility. So what's the principle? Let's say it together. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled. But whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Which are you going to do?
I have to reemphasize these words because it's the very last portion of teaching on the last day of our series on humility. Derek said there are situations where the only solution is to humble yourself. In your life right now, in my life right now, there are situations where the only solution is to humble yourself. Let's look for those opportunities to make ourselves small and allow God to exalt us. Dick Leggett will be with us in just a few moments as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
Get ready to embark on a journey that can truly revolutionize your approach to life as Derek Prince navigates some long-held misconceptions about servanthood. In his classic video teaching, Being a Servant, Derek reveals that a servant's heart is not only the key to greatness, it is the key to experiencing true joy, real influence, and deep blessing. Even as the world asks, "What's in it for me?" this DVD's message explores the power behind the question, "How may I serve God?" It's a call to a revival of servanthood among the people of God and what it can mean to a hungry and hurting world. Discover real joy through the God-fueled power of servanthood. Order your copy of Derek's insightful DVD, Being a Servant, by calling us toll-free, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. This classic video teaching is just $9.95. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or order your copy of Being a Servant when you visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Great to have you with us here at the very last portion of the very last day of our series on humility that has been so powerful and so transforming. To help me massage this into our lives a bit and to contemplate it and meditate on it and make it part of our thinking for the future is Dick Leggett, the president of Derek Prince Ministries. And Dick, always love having you here.
Hey, Stephen. Great to be with you again.
You know, this teaching is so contrary to the spirit of our age. So contrary to the idea that you ought to, I'm all about going for the gusto and going for the best you can be and all that kind of thing, but there's a prideful, arrogant, grasping kind of orientation on the modern version of that, on today's, the spirit of it in today's culture, rather than sort of a humble, aggressive pursuit of the will of God that used to be the way we thought about those terms. And so how do you see this? I mean, how has this impacted you?
I love it. I love Derek's perspective, and it is contrarian. You know, I mean, it really does contradict the spirit of the age. But just so much of what Derek is saying has such depth of truth to it. I love his emphasis on Jacob wrestling with the angel, and actually wrestling with God, you know, and being touched in the thigh and walking with a limp from then on. My father-in-law, Don Basham, who was a colleague of Derek's and actually introduced me to Derek and Lydia back in early 1970s, said towards the end of his life, he said, the longer I go in the Christian life, the more I've come to only trust those who walk with a limp. And it's a profound statement, but I think what Derek was referring to was the same kind of thing. You know, you really want to be around people who have been touched deeply by the Lord and are walking in humility. And, you know, I was thinking, Stephen, you had so much time personally with Derek as you were writing his biography and did such a masterful job on that. But Derek really walked in this. I mean, you look at some of his messages like the grace of yielding, which is all about just giving up your right and letting somebody else come into it. Can you think of some specific times where you really saw that in Derek as you were interfacing with him?
Well, I saw it often in my personal dealings with him, and this, we were talking about an 87-year-old man. But I think in order to understand the humility that Derek walked in, we have to first understand the heights that he had achieved. He was one of the top graduates of Cambridge University in the late 1930s. And that meant that anything was possible for him. I mean, you have to think in terms of Parliament. You have to think in terms of him perhaps being Prime Minister. You have to think in terms of, you know, anything being open to him, him being one of the senior dons there at Cambridge. When you are at that level, it's like being the number one student in your class at Harvard, and even really beyond that. And so he was part of the elite. He was potentially in the power class, so to speak. And yet he humbled himself time after time after time. He humbled himself, I remember it a number of times, both in Kenya and later in Britain when he was pastoring, or in Britain when he was pastoring earlier on. He humbled himself to serve ministers in the city he really didn't like that much. He had a hard time with. He having lived in Palestine and then later Israel and having served on the front lines, he found pastors and sort of cushy pastorates in the West to be difficult people to deal with. And in Kenya, the white pastors, the white missionaries, the white leaders who wouldn't have anything to do with the Kenyans. Derek then not only loved them and served them, but then went across the lines and worked with the Kenyans and lived with the Kenyans and of course, as we all know, adopted a Kenyan child. And right. I think that's a tremendous statement of his humility. Again, bearing in mind that here he was living as a Pentecostal, a despised group, by the way, in the 40s and 50s.
Sure, absolutely.
And yet, a man who could have had the reins of power neatly fitted into his hands.
Yeah. You know, one of the pictures that is so clear in my mind, and Derek actually was encouraged not to do this because it just wasn't becoming a man of his stature. But repeatedly, God had given him this gift of praying for people who had an unequal length in their legs. So the method to pray was basically you knelt before the person, you lifted up, you usually had their had them take their shoes off, so you're lifting up their, you know, their smelly feet and praying for them, and Derek would be on his knees right there, you know, encouraging people to watch God do a miracle here. And amazingly, I mean, that epitomizes Derek's approach to life. It's like nothing was too low for him to just kneel down and do an act like that was so loving. And, you know, it just, that speaks volumes about Derek.
Well, Dick, we've only got about a minute, but at the end of this two-week series, and with you mentioning Derek praying for people, pray for our listeners just in a few minutes that this work of humility will be complete and that they will be pleasing to the Lord as they walk humbly before him.
I'd be glad to, Stephen. You know, as you're listening, it really is a pretty simple decision. You can either hold on to your pride or you can just simply let it go. So if you would, just pray this prayer after me. Dear Lord, I realize there are so many areas of my life where I have chosen pride over humility. Today, as an act of obedience to you, I let them all go, and I take up the intention to walk humbly before you, my God. And I take Jesus as my example, who stripped himself of all privilege and did not cling to his prerogatives as God's equal. But he stripped himself and became a servant of all. I do that today, Lord, as an act of discipline before you. And I ask for your grace and help as I continue in that lifestyle. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Dick. And thanks for being here today, too.
Hey, it's always great to be with you, Stephen. It's fun.
Well, listen, that's all the time we have for today. For everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Join us again on Monday as the legacy continues.
Take a moment right now to request your copy of Derek's DVD, Being a Servant, available for just $9.95. Call 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Discover the key to joy, influence, and blessing. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or in Canada, call 888-737-0771. And of course, you can order your DVD copy of Being a Servant securely online at DerekPrince.org. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries and produced in association with Audio Aviators. For more information about anything heard on today's program, visit us on the web at DerekPrince.org. That's DerekPrince.org.